From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome to game day at Locked On Chiefs. Hope you guys are having a good one. And it is time for the Denver Broncos to try and take down the reigning AFC West champions in the Kansas City Chiefs, even though they've had a rough go lately. We're going to talk about that today. Matt Derrick's going to be back with us. We're going to go through our four goals. And right now, I'm with Chris Clark of Chiefs Digest, and I'm Ryan Tracy of RGR Football. Today's top story is that this is a team that's kind of limping into Denver, yet I still expect this to be a very hard-fought and tight game. But man, this list is growing.
Yeah, the injury list is definitely going the wrong direction. It broke late on Wednesday, around 2:30 on Wednesday, that Bashaud Breeland is now questionable for the game. It's not injury related, so he is healthy. But then it's also being reported that he's not traveling with the team. It's a personal issue that he's dealing with. But being questionable makes you think that it's possible that he somehow still finds his way to Denver and plays.
Yeah, that questionable status usually means there's somebody's dinged up or something like that, but they're capable of playing. So to me, not traveling with the team being a personal issue, that sounds like, you know, something in the family, something going on that he's got to be present for. Maybe he can just catch up, take a later flight, you know, solo, not on the team plane, but still be there in time to play that Thursday night matchup. We'll just have to see what happens, because if he isn't there, they're already down Kendall Fuller, who's out with a fractured wrist. I'm sorry, is it wrist or thumb? Which was it?
It's a thumb.
I mean, hey, close enough. You can't grab anything, and Lord knows you got to do some grabbing in this league, especially if you're in there at the slot. So that limits what he can do anyway. But I got to tell you that brings up a numbers game that I'm a little concerned with, and I know you are too, but that leaves Mo Claiborne starting on one side opposite Charvarius Ward with Rashad Fenton in the slot, and honestly, no fourth corner available.
Yeah, you would think that if Breeland's not going to be able to be there, they're going to make some kind of move. I'll admit I'm not 100% sure on this, but I'm pretty sure that since the league office is open tomorrow, they're able to activate somebody tomorrow, able to release somebody tomorrow. So if they absolutely had to and they were only going to go into the game with three corners, they could activate somebody from the practice squad to play, assuming that that person is in the Denver area at that time. So hopefully they're able to figure that out, and Breeland is able to make it there and play, and everything ends up being okay with his family. So there's hope for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And if not, that presses you into a situation where maybe Dan Sorensen is going to play that strong safety robber kind of look and let Tyrann Mathieu take some snaps at corner when needed. Or maybe it just changes the way you're going to deploy your zones. I don't think it affects Juan Thornhill. Even though he's played corner in the past too, I think they want to leave him at the back. That's certainly what I would do.
Yeah, I think that's probably the way that they are going to end up going. I think if they do end up having to activate somebody, I don't expect that they're going to get much playing time, but it's there more for emergency cases. In certain situations, I think that's what you're going to see, though, is Tyrann Mathieu is going to step forward and play, up closer to the line of scrimmage and maybe play a slot role at times, just really depending on how things play out.
And the trickle down from that is that if Sorensen's basically you're starting strong safety at that point, it means probably more reps for Jordan Lucas, who we've seen get a couple of plays a week the last few weeks. So I don't think it's earth shattering. On the other side of the ball, it looks like Cam Irving's going to be available. We'll see if he actually plays.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to be available. Fisher and Wiley are registered as out, so they're not going to be there. Fisher's not a huge surprise. Wiley's really not either. The other big name for the offense, Sammy Watkins, is out this game.
Right, and that changes what you can do. Now, this is not the Broncos secondary of old. It is still not somebody you could take too lightly, especially with Chris Harris out on the field. But Harris's indication is that he's looking forward to following Tyreek Hill. More power to you. I like Chris. I don't think that's a very good thing for Chris, but hey, whatever happens, happens. On the opposite side, this is getting to the point now where DeMarcus Robinson has to show some kind of redemption after the last couple of weeks being not able to contribute to the offense in any meaningful way. And quite frankly, Byron Pringle coming on strong.
Absolutely. This is a big game for Robinson. This is a big game for Pringle, and this is a big game for Hardman. Hardman and Hill in this situation can show a lot and really assuage people's fears about next year if Hardman can come out and be successful in this game.
And I have a feeling that it can. I feel like this Denver secondary is going to be susceptible, especially to him out of the slot. I don't think you're going to see the blown coverages that we saw early in the season, but I do think there's some hay to be made there. So I do want to remind everybody that we will have a late post game for you. I will be at the game and it'll definitely go up late, but we will have our reaction for you for Friday morning's commute. When we come back, we're going to bring Matt Derrick back in, get his thoughts on this matchup, and we'll be right back. So we want to welcome back Matt Derrick. We talked to him on Tuesday's show, but we want to give you guys a little bit more. Matt, there's a ton going on with this team, but this short turnaround compresses everything. Do you think there's any little wrinkles or little changes that we could see that can help them against what is a Broncos rushing attack that is really going to set this team up for more of what they've been seeing lately?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that even in a short week, I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do. But it seems like each week we are seeing the Chiefs just put a little bit more effort into trying to, even if it's blitzing that turns into a run blitz. I mean, I think we're going to see more and more of that. I mean, they're doing a halfway decent job defending the pass on the back end. I think they're going to be, especially with Mo Claiborne back, I think they're going to be willing, even with Fuller's injury, I think they're going to be willing to maybe stress that secondary a little bit more, put them a little bit more on an island, and just try and stuff up the middle to stop the run. I mean, because against Phillip Lindsay, they need to. I mean, this is a guy that can do exactly what teams have been doing to the Chiefs the last few weeks. So I think they're just going to have to continue to commit more and more resources and be willing to let Joe Flacco beat them. And this might be the game where they can maybe put a little bit more stress in the secondary and say, you know what? Comes to the linebackers, defensive line, we're going to put 7-8 guys in the box and just, we're not going to let the run beat us. And if Flacco beats it, so be it.
Joe Flacco beating this team would be very Chiefs-esque, I guess, maybe I'll say. Joe Flacco has not played well this season so far. He's got a couple of weapons in Emmanuel Sanders, who we think will be back for the game. We're not 100% sure at this point. And Cortland Sutton, who's played pretty well so far this season. But you look at what this Denver team is really about, and their defense has really come alive the past 2 weeks, and they're going to need it on Thursday night against Kansas City, who, if they get Sammy Watkins back, will be a lot closer to 100% on their offense, although they're still missing Fitcher. And I don't think that injury has been given enough credit for what Fitcher has really done for this team and on that offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, even though the Chiefs will tell you that they're pleased with what, you know, Cam Irving has given them, I think this, you know, little stretch should absolutely, you know, give people maybe a better appreciation for what Fisher has done. I mean, I know people, you know, took shots at him, of, you know, making the Pro Bowl last year that maybe didn't deserve it, but frankly, he did. I mean, Eric Fisher has turned himself into a very reliable left tackle, and, you know, there's just not a lot of those guys out there. And, hey, the Chiefs, like I said, they've been happy with the job that Cam Irving has done. Certainly he's gotten beat at times. There's some plays he wants back, but Eric Fisher's been a pretty reliable player for this team for the last few years. And I think he's a big part of, you know, why this offense has been misfiring in his absence.
I couldn't agree with you more. And even if you don't care for him, he's a tackle. Cam Irving's a guard, people. I keep telling you all this. Nothing changes. But the guy that I'm concerned about, the guy that I thought was going to move forward this season, that seems to have taken a big step back in terms of just his footwork, his ability to get himself turned to try to take angles on blockers, is Austin Ryder. And I don't know what's going on. Do you have any insight into him in particular?
You know, I think that's been a bit of a mystery. I know the real issue has been a lot of the penalties, because he's had a lot of holding calls. Seems like he has. I mean, you're right. He's been letting guys get by him, and he's been a little bit late to get there. Certainly maybe the issues on the left side of the line are part of it. I mean, he's got maybe they're attacking, you know, that middle of the line, maybe a little bit more. He may be trying to do too much as far as maybe trying to help out that left side of the line. But yeah, I mean, the penalties have been an issue. I mean, you know, for the offense in general, there've been a lot of penalties, but inside and Ryder has had probably more issues with it than anybody else in that line.
Well, and you start looking at that offensive line, I'm curious. It doesn't seem like it would make sense that Wiley is back for this game, because he was doubtful last week. I just can't imagine that he's going to be able to go this week. Maybe he's able to go against the Green Bay Packers when they have, you know, the 10 days rest, and maybe that's the situation. I'm curious real quick, though, if Fisher comes back, let's say he comes back against the Packers and Wiley is still out, do they move Cam Irving to guard? And then the other question would be, is it possible that they will go with Wisniewski this week on a short week after just adding him?
Yeah, I mean, I think all options are up in the air. I mean, I know there was an inclination and an interest in, from this team, at least at the beginning of the season, to keep Cam Irving as a swing tackle. I know, Ryan, that's going to drive you crazy, but that was kind of their plan. But then at the same time, I mean, you know, with all their backups, you know, and Cam Irving more than anybody, I mean, they've played him everywhere. So it certainly would not surprise me that I think Wiley will be back. They really only expected that to be a week or two injury. And then maybe a little bit will depend on how if Martinez Rankin gets another start in there, how he plays. I do think there's a better chance that maybe they do switch over to Wisniewski. It's going to be just a matter. I mean, obviously, Rankin's got a little bit more time in the system. And Wisniewski, I mean, they're still trying to figure out what they have. So until that, maybe they're more comfortable, they might stick with Rankin. But I there's a lot of options on the table, and none of them would really surprise me at this point.
I don't want to dig any further into the offensive line, but just real quickly, Matt, I thought Rankin held his own from what I saw in the broadcast. Obviously, I haven't seen the All-22 to the point that I've looked at him. Just your initial impression of how he played.
Yeah, I mean, I probably have to lean on you know, what Eric Bieniemy said about him, you know, is that he played pretty well, but, you know, there was it pretty? No. I mean, there were some mistakes in there. That's to be expected. But I think by and large, I mean, you know, for how long he's been in the system and going in there, I think he probably held himself up pretty well. But yeah, I mean, there were definitely a couple of glaring moments that he had.
Well, you're going into this game against the Denver Broncos, and the one thing that I keep coming back to, and it's funny, 2 weeks ago, Chiefs were 4-0, and you felt fantastic about them in this division, and now they're 4-2, and the only team that's close to them right now is Oakland, and I still think that Oakland's going to getting ready to go on a big losing streak. They have a lot of tough games coming up in the next 4 weeks, so we'll know a lot about them in a month, but the Chargers are 2-4. I didn't see that coming. This team is still in a good position moving forward. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably not as much as a sky is falling person with this team as I think I've been hearing around town. Because I do think that a lot of what they're going through are the injuries. I mean, and some of it is, you know, even though you look at all the offensive weapons, I still think that this is a team that is built on having a historically great offense and a defense that hangs on for the ride. And with all of the injuries that they've had, it takes its toll. If when this offense is at full strength, it's the kind of team that can go out and get you 7 yards of play. And if you do that, there's just not many teams are going to beat you. Your defense just has to be halfway decent to win those games. And with all the injuries that they've had, even, you know, with Hill coming back, I'm going to go through and try and get the numbers as far as, you know, what their productivity was with Hill on the field versus what he wasn't on Sunday.
I actually have those numbers.
You got them now? Good. I've got to assume that they were pretty good with Hill on the field versus when he wasn't. I mean, it was a 50-50 split.
Yeah, he played 50% of the snaps. They had almost 200 yards of offense when he was on the field. And this is per Seth Kizer, so I'm going off of what he saw. Almost 200 yards of offense when he was on the field and like 110 when he was off.
Does not surprise me at all.
Big change.
A huge change. And you add Eric Fisher, you get Sammy Watkins back out there. That's going to make that's going to change things dramatically. I mean, that will change the look of this team.
And I have to ask this, and I'm sorry, Ryan, I'm probably stepping on your toes, but I have to ask this question. It seems like for the past 2 weeks, and you really saw this against the Detroit Lions, you saw this again in the game before that, when Patrick Mahomes tweaks his ankle, he's not the same quarterback. And I'm not trying to be critical of him because he's playing through it and he's giving his team a chance to win. But there was times in that game yesterday he could not step into a throw. He didn't have the zip that he normally has on throws and the accuracy that he normally has on throws. At what point does that really become a large concern?
Well, inside the team, it hasn't been because they're still kind of, in denial over that, whether or not that's an issue. Patrick has kind of, shrugged his shoulders at it. He doesn't, even though, when you look at the numbers about when he got landed on Sunday and his numbers before and after that play, they were markedly different. And that has been the case in a couple of times that after he's taken a big hit, the numbers have gone down. Maybe it's small sample size. Maybe it truly is just the, you know, the teams have played him a little bit differently. But I look at the Colts game. I mean, you know, he looked like he was definitely a little bit more mobile the entire game and played pretty well, even if the rest of the offense didn't. I don't know. I mean, I still think that it's, he looks a lot better when he's got Eric Fisher, Tyreek Hill, and Sammy Watkins out there. And he's still, even with that ankle at this point, with what opens he hasn't had, he's been good. It's just that he hasn't been the Hall of Fame MVP Patrick Mahomes that people expect.
And that's really what it comes down to. It's all relative. I think that's where my frustration is with some of these things that I feel are correctable, you know, without having to go into, hey, let's get Patrick Peterson and Jalen Ramsey and all the external nonsense. There are ways to improve this team right now that are already on this roster, and I just want to see them take full advantage of what they have. So, folks, it's coming up to it. When we get back, we're going to go through our predictions and look at our four goals. Matt, thanks for all your time again.
Absolutely, guys.
If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you keep walking? Of course, you take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay you when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing if you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. Did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid.
Okay, so four goals, and then we'll get to our predictions. Folks, we want to know what yours are too, so make sure you hit at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter with your thoughts. Do you want to start or you want me to go first?
Go ahead.
Well, I am a broken record over and over and over. They got to help Cam Irving. They got to help, and I'm real interested to see this, is how the lineup is deployed at left guard and center. There is Wisniewski sitting in the wings a couple of days further along. Maybe he's still not ready. Maybe he doesn't play. But if he does play, he could come in at either of those positions. I think they liked what they saw from Rankin. I'm certainly comfortable with what he did in his first action with this team in this offense. So you could see him out there as well. Could be some shuffling going on until Eric Fisher gets back. But either way, I still feel you have to help Irving, especially with him being a little gimpy early in the week, by adding either a Blake Bell, or honestly, I want to see Sherman lined up as an H to help Chip there and just protect Pat's backside. Give Pat some more focus that he can put on Von Miller and understand where he is at all times and not have to worry about what's coming up behind him.
I could definitely see that. The big question is Kansas City going to be willing to deploy that? I'm not really sure that they're going to. The thing that they have not done this year is they continue to send four and five people out into the routes. And while that really can help a quarterback, it can also hinder them because protection is going to break down because especially if the defense blitz is the one nice thing Kansas City has going in this game, obviously. And I'm not saying I like this from a competition standpoint, but Bradley Chubb's not going to be in this game, so that does help them that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I agree with you. That's my goal. I don't know that it's Andy's goal, so Coach Reed, consider it, please. But if you're not going to, I think the other thing that you can do to help protect Pat and keep him healthy, I mean, we haven't seen him get to the second half with his foot in one shape for a while now. I know you want to take your shots downfield. You should definitely do that, and I think you have to do it off of play action because I want you to hit the quicker developing routes early and get the ball out of his hand. Protect him so that he can do that when he's presented with an opportunity to hit him deep.
And that's a great thought. My question when it comes to that is, are they going to do it? And the other part of that and what plays into this for me is looking at what they're going to have offensively. Yes, Tyreek Hill is going to play, but is it going to be the Tyreek Hill that started week one and was ready to go for the season? Or is it going to be Tyreek Hill from last week that only played half the snaps? Because if he only plays half the snaps, that really changes what you're going to be able to do on offense. I can't imagine he's going to play half. I'd imagine he plays maybe 60% this week, but it is going to change what you're going to do.
I think that's probably true. I think it's going to be more around 80%. You got to give him a little bit of a breather, but I feel like it's more like the week one guy than what we saw last week.
Well, and I hope you're right, although it wouldn't surprise me if they keep it lower than 80%, mainly because this is a short week. But you know, the other side of that is they've got 10 days to rest and get ready for the Green Bay game after this one. So maybe they do use them a little bit more, knowing that they'll have more time to recuperate.
Could be. We're going to have to
see. When I start looking at this game, one of the key things for me is, how is Kansas City going to stop the running game of Denver? Because if this is, if there is a team in the NFL that I think, or sorry, a team in the division specifically that I think that you can get after and make them one dimensional and try to beat you in the passing game. Although if Breland doesn't play, that changes things too. It's the Denver Broncos. Get Joe Flacco having to try to beat you, and I think you're in a winning position as a defense.
I agree with you, especially about Breland, because I think he and Sutton are a key matchup. I don't think that they can win against Sutton without Breland in particular. But beyond that, this offense runs through the backfield. This is, like we've seen from the Niners and the Vikings and some other teams, this is approaching a throwback offense that they have to run first and they have to run to win. And you have to stop them. And obviously, we've all seen what's happened the last few weeks. The team is saying all the right things, that they understand that they have to put more soul and will into it. But until I see it happen, I just can't count on it. So from my point of view, if I'm calling the shots, and Spags, if you want some help, just shout at me. I think Reggie's got to start in the middle, period. End of story. And you want to take him out in the nickel. The reason I think that Reggie's not playing right now is because I don't think that they're comfortable with the aspect of having to switch him out for personnel packages. And I understand that completely, but this particular team is going to run some 11, but they're going to run some double tights and they're going to run the ball a lot. So I think Reggie has to be in there. I think you have to commit 7 to the box to take away Lindsey's lanes.
Wouldn't shock me to see them do that. Also wouldn't shock me for them to go the opposite direction and stick with what they've been doing. It's really been shocking to me to see how little Ragland has played. Obviously, he's going to play this week. He's going to be active this week just because of sheer numbers of people that are out for Kansas City. But, you know, the question really becomes is are they going to give him a chance? And this is a week that they should. I mean, this is a game where the QB is one of the players that you're not near as worried about on this in this league. Joe Flacco is on the other side, on the backside of his career. And while he can still be a good quarterback, he's not going to be the one that's going to beat you. It's going to be the running game.
I agree. And yes, Hitchens is available, but I don't know what kind of shape he's in or if he can play as well. If he's ready to go, I'd like to see him and Ragland out there together, because yes, you have to guard against Fant, the rookie tight end, who's very, very athletic, but that's what you have Tyrann Mathieu for. I'm comfortable with that in any way, shape or form. And that brings you back to the matchup with Fenton, most likely seeing quite a bit of Sanders, that Sanders has practiced and seems to be ready to go. So there's another passing game matchup to watch. So all in all, I think it's one step forward. Take out the running game, deal with the passing game afterwards. So with that said, we're to the magic part of the show. I'll start because I know you hate going first, but the last time I picked against them, last time I picked against the Chiefs in Denver, I think I was wrong by like a total of 28 points or something like that. So I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go down that road again. Are they going to put up points like they did early? No. I don't feel that that's there, but I do feel if they can keep Pat upright, it is going to get into the 20s. I'm going to take the Chiefs 24-21.
Yeah, the big thing I didn't know last week, and this probably would have changed my prediction if I knew that Hill's going to play, although the game ended up shaking out the kind of the way I thought it was going to with a loss, I think they're going to win this week. I don't see Andy Reid dropping 3 in a row. I think that he is going to show that he's a much better coach than Fangio, and he's going to have this team ready to go on a short week, and they know how important these divisional games are. Beyond that, you have a lot to sell to your team here because you have a 10-day rest. You can start trying to get some guys healthy that have some dings that maybe aren't going reported on the injury report, and get them some extra time. This is a game where you have to go hard and you have to win. I mean, dropping to 4-3 would be a huge disappointment for Kansas City at this point. And while the numbers are stacked against them, especially with all the injuries they have, they're a much better team than Denver is, and they should win this game. I'm going to go Kansas City 27, Denver 17.
Ah, okay. Well, I personally hope that you're right more so than I am, as well as I hope everybody's listening to what Spags is telling you in that he understands that they have to get to a manageable third down level. I expect them to make adjustments, maybe not as dramatic, but I do feel like they've been blitzing a little bit more, and I expect to see a little bit more of that yet to come. Just wish they had taken the bye when I'm out for 10 days, you know, immediately after they're out for 10 days. So let us know what you guys think. Give us your predictions at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter, as well as anywhere on Facebook. You have our Locked On Chiefs page over there, as well as all the videos over on RGR and all the content that Matt and Chris are putting out at Chiefs Digest. So check all of that out, please. We'll have a preview for you from Reagan Cresswell, our film analyst over at CD as well. We're looking forward to it. Hope you are. Thanks for listening today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.